You mentioned about the issue of the good risk versus the poor risk patient. Can you kind of summarize what the key features are that would push you towards calling a patient a poor risk versus good risk?
The clinical features for poor risk are simply performance status, disease burden, sometimes measured by LDH, but sometimes determined simply by the number of metastatic sites, more than 3 metastatic sites, and hypercalcemia are some of the biggest predictors of poor risk.
I want to ask you about something else that might seem unrelated, but I want to kind of get your thoughts a little bit on the issue of clinical research and how to do trials, particularly looking at these biologic agents. And I'm curious what your thoughts were about the paper that was presented at ASCO looking at sorafenib and hepatocellular carcinoma, and specifically the fact that there wasn't that much seen phase 2, and yet when they did this phase 3 study, they saw such dramatic results. What was your take about that?
Well, I think that the biggest problem we face in oncology in regards to phase 2 trials is our over-dependence on objective or, quote, RECIST-based response rates as the endpoint. Certainly, there are drugs like sorafenib and probably bevacizumab whose major mechanism of action when used by themselves are slowing of disease progression. And in a single-arm, uncontrolled trial, trying to determine whether lack of growth is due to or despite the drug that's being administered is essentially impossible. And therefore, the only way to determine that is in a randomized setting. And I think that as we develop some of the drugs and as we try to develop these combinations, the most important thing that we have to do is, even in the phase 2 setting, is to conduct randomized trials.
Now, you've also published on the issue or the idea of the, quote, randomized discontinuation trial. Can you kind of explain what that is and why that type of study is sort of considered?
The randomized discontinuation trial was one randomized phase 2 design that we proposed to look at the disease stabilizing activity of a drug in the phase 2 setting. And with this design, all patients get the drug up front. If there are clear objective responses, patients are presumably benefiting and they would continue on the drug. Those that don't tolerate the drug or who have progressive disease after a period of time are then taken off protocol, and those remaining patients who maintain stable disease for some specified time are then randomized to continuing or discontinuing the drug, and in that manner determining whether the lack of disease progression is because of or despite of the administered drug. In my mind, the biggest advantage of this particular trial design is that it's a selection design that lets the drug select the patient population most likely to benefit and then determines in a randomized fashion whether that selection was actually a true drug-related selection or a drug-unrelated selection.
And to what extent has this actually been implemented?
It's been implemented with sorafenib and the other VEGFR-targeted drug, pazopanib, from Glaxo Welcome, was also studied in a randomized discontinuation trial design. Interestingly, in that latter study, which was also presented at ASCO, there were so many objective responses that there was no need to go on to the randomized portion.
What about the sorafenib study?
The sorafenib study demonstrated the power of this particular design because in the sorafenib study, there were very few objective responses. And in many ways, the drug would have been rejected if we would have been completely dependent on verifiable RECIST-based responses.